Pleased now to be joined by Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. Brent's appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens. From design to installation, they got you covered. You can view their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com. Brent Hubbs, how are you?
I'm doing well. Hope you guys are doing well.
Yes, we are. Tennessee had some, Junior Day over the weekend?
Yeah, on Saturday, Tennessee had their first major junior day of the year. They'll have another in March. Of course, it's dead in the month of February. Coaches can't be on the road. Kids can't be on the road seeing schools. But it'll crank back up in March. Tennessee will have another one in March, and then you can start official visits in April. But Tennessee had James Pearson on an official visit last weekend, kind of his victory lap deal. And then they had a good number of juniors in on Saturday. Some of them took in the basketball game, and they spent the day, visiting with coaches and guys on the team, and obviously doing tours and pitchers and all those things.
Any idea how productive it was?
Well, I think it was good just from the standpoint of, continuing to build relationships. I think Tennessee is moving in the right direction with Aiden Bussell, the offensive lineman from out in the mid-state area. Bryson Sanders, who's from down in Chattanooga, is another offensive lineman that I think Tennessee is moving, in the right direction with. You got Vic Burley, who was in town. He's a talented defensive lineman from down in Georgia that everybody's going to want. And Rodney Garner's known him since he was a freshman in high school. Getting him back up here for another visit was important. Christopher Vanzina is a quarterback from down in Alabama that made his second visit. He was here in the South Alabama game and came back up. So Tennessee had a good number of guys in. Trevor Duncan from Catholic, who I think is a really, really good prospect, who's got a big future ahead of him. He was over on campus. And Cameron Franklin is a linebacker from down in Florida that was up here as well. So overall, Jimmy, it was a good group of guys that was in that were in, and I think it's important for Tennessee to continue to build those relationships, try to get a bunch of those guys back if they can for the next junior day, and then get them back here this summer, because that's the name of the game. Get them on campus as many times as you can.
All right, if you want to join us, 656-9900, that's 865 before that, then 1-800-866-656-9900. Let's go to Martin. Martin, you're on with Brent Hubbs.
Yes, Brent. I'd like to know if Tennessee got a chance at Jason Jenkins or any other signees in the signing period.
Sure. Jason Jenkins is the defensive end prospect from New Jersey that will be in town this weekend for an official visit. Yeah, I mean, I think Tennessee's got a shot there. We'll see how hard Tennessee pushes there after the weekend visit, kind of where that's at. Ahmad Moten is another kid that Tennessee already visited, had him on the official visit. He goes to Miami this weekend. That smells like Miami all the way to me. He's from South Florida. I just think Miami getting the last visit, all of that is set up really well for him. So I would be surprised there. And really, that's kind of it. I mean, they may get this safety in from down in Oxford, Alabama, who's committed to Florida. He committed to Florida on his visit there, I guess, a week and a half ago. And so we'll see if he ends up coming in for a visit or not. But otherwise, I think Tennessee's about done in the high school ranks, and we'll see where Tennessee is in terms of transfer kids this spring.
And what about the quarterback out of Alabama? What's his name at junior?
Vanzina is his name. I think Clemson's in there really well with him. It's going to be interesting to see where Alabama is at the quarterback position. Of course, they'll take a big namer every year. They got Ty Simpson in this last class. They're in it for Arch Manning. If they don't get Arch Manning, you wonder if they don't turn up the heat on the in-state prospect and really gather his attention. They haven't done that at this point, so we'll see what happens there. There's a big kid in California, Nico, that Alabama and Tennessee are both involved with as well. So we'll see. I mean, I like the kid from Alabama a lot. I think he's a really bright kid. He's got good size about him. He's got a lot of opportunities, a lot of different places. I think Clemson's kind of zeroed in on him as maybe their number one guy because they're out of the
Arch Manning race. What about Marcel Reed out of middle?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. You know, I think he's down the list a little bit. One of the things with Marcel is he's not very big. I think the other thing with him, too, is he's never really committed to fully playing quarterback. You know, he spends all of his summer playing AAU basketball. the spring playing AAU basketball, and he kind of plays football almost on the side a little bit. I think Vanderbilt's going to be in that for him. We'll see. Tennessee might circle back to there, but I think there's some other guys ahead of him on Tennessee's board right now.
I appreciate it.
Thanks, Martin. We appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Let's go to Steve. Steve, you're on with Brent Hubbs.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Brent, give me people, whether they will be freshmen or what year eligibility they're in, not just freshmen, anybody, that you think might be somebody next season that can have a pretty key performance to help the team. You know, might help them quite a bit.
Well, Steve, they've got to find a right tackle. I mean, that's the first thing. That, to me, offensively, there's two things they have to find. They've got to find an outside receiver threat opposite of Cedric Tillman, and then they've got to find a right tackle. And we'll see. Is that right tackle on this roster? Is that Jeremiah Crawford? Is that Dane Davis taking a step? Is that Mincy? Is there somebody else in the transfer portal in the spring? They've got to answer that question on the offensive line. And then outside at receiver, they had Isaiah Nair penciled in for that, and obviously he's not here. So where do they go for that outside receiver threat? Is that Caleb Webb? Is that a transfer guy out there? Is that Nimrod from over in Arkansas who's a midterm guy? That's the biggest question marks offensively that they've got to find answers to. I do think Jalen Hyatt will have a much bigger impact on this team offensively in the slot as a receiver. He may bump out and play some out wide, but I think he's more suited at this point in time to be in the slot. And then when you talk about defensively, they got to find corners. And I think that's Kamal Haddon, and I think Brandon Turnage has to help this team in the secondary next year, whether that's playing that nickel position, Jimmy, or he's bouncing out at corner. He has to be on the field helping Tennessee, and I think Kamal Haddon's got to be one of your corners as well.
Okay. Well, okay, fellas. How many weeks does spring practice start?
It starts the Tuesday after spring break, which will be around the 20th of March.
Okay.
Maybe the 21st. I'd have to look at my calendar. But it's going to be the week after spring break. I think spring break is the 14th through the 18th. So it's that following week that it gets started.
Okay.
The Tuesday would be the 22nd.
Okay. Something like that. It'll be the week before they are on spring break, and it starts that week after spring break. I think it's going to start the first part of that week, but it'll definitely start that week after spring break.
Okay. Brent, we heard the talk about the different positions of need and so forth that Tennessee has. And then I want to shift to the quarterbacks. You talked about the guy from Alabama. I want to get your take on the Jackson kid that's coming in from Indiana. Do you like him as a prospect?
Absolutely, Jimmy. And I think we talked about this a little bit on our podcast today, I think it was, or maybe it was in Tuesday's podcast. I think he's coming into a great situation because Hendon Hooker's coming back. So he can sit and watch and learn, and maybe he plays in four games and still redshirts. That's obviously capable and possible. But there's no pressure on him, Jimmy, to come in and play right out of the gate. I think he's got a high ceiling. I don't think he's ready right now. He plays in, I don't want to say a primitive offense, but it's a run-heavy offense, okay? There's not a ton of throwing the ball in that offense. So he's going to have to grow in that area in 11-on-11 work. I thought he looked pretty good from everybody I've spoken with in the Polynesian Bowl that he participated in. I don't put a whole lot of stock in the game itself, but in terms of what he looked like on the practice field, how he threw the ball, he drew some pretty favorable reviews from people out there watching that game and observing that game and reporting on that game. So I do think physically he's got a lot of tools, and I think there's certainly an upside to him there. He just needs a little time to nurture and mature and marinate, or whatever phrase you want to use, because he's not ready right now, but he doesn't have to be, which is a blessing for him and for Tennessee.
That's Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com. If you got a question or comment, to join us, 865-656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens. From design to installation, they got you covered.
Brent, what about, you mentioned Jalen Hyatt. What about Tennessee interested in his little brother, Devin, who is at IMG Academy? I think he was part of junior day, wasn't he?
Yeah, Devin's a guy that Tennessee likes a lot, and obviously he likes Tennessee. I think Tennessee's chances with him probably depends a lot on how Jalen's season goes. You know, if Jalen's a bigger part of this offense and is more successful and thrives in this offense, that's obviously going to help Tennessee's chances with Devin. I think Devin's a different player than Jalen, you know, in some ways, although they play the same position, a little bit different style guy. But, yeah, he's a guy that Tennessee certainly likes, and he likes Tennessee. And, again, I think the fact that Jalen, you know, it was tough for Jalen last year. He battled a little injury, and then he just had a hard time finding kind of his role. But I thought Jalen was really good in the bowl game. I thought they missed some opportunities with him in the middle of the field. I thought the last couple of weeks of the regular season, he kind of found a little bit of a different gear and kind of started preparing and doing all the little extra little things that you need to do. And I know he and Cedric Tillman have grown closer together, and Cedric's certainly working a lot with him and trying to lead that receiver room. And I expect Jalen to have a big year. And if he does, that's certainly going to help them a great deal with little brother for sure.
And it's a pretty big group that's coming in, that's already enrolled in classes out of the signing class. Obviously, they're the transfers that are here as well, some of the preferred walk-ons and those. But the guys from the signing class, there's a big chunk of them are already on campus. How big is it to have that significant number for Josh Heupel's 2022 class already on campus getting that early start?
Well, I think it's, you know, I think it's invaluable from the standpoint of you learn time management as a student. You understand what off-season workouts really mean compared to what you did in high school. That's no knock on high schools, but it's different. You're learning about nutrition. You're learning about all the things that you need to learn about that first year, but you're not learning them while you're also trying to see if you can find your way onto the football field. So, I mean, guys in the weight room, guys getting bigger and stronger is always important. Going through spring practice is going to help all of them for sure. And so I think when you have the roster turnover Tennessee has and, you know, some things on the offensive side of the ball that you're looking for some answers for, I think it's nice to get those guys in here. And look, with block scheduling in high school, it's easy to graduate at midterm if your school allows it. Now, there are some schools that don't allow it. That's why some guys aren't here as midtermers and would like to have been, but they weren't afforded that opportunity because their high school would not allow it and doesn't set schedules up that way. But with block scheduling in most public school situations, guys can get on track in their freshman year to be midterm enrollees, and you're seeing that around the country. And obviously this is as big of a pool of midterm enrollees as Tennessee's had in a long, long time when you're talking about 13 signees, a transfer, and four walk-ons coming in.
Yeah, that is a bunch. Tell us about the junior tight end that is committed, Ethan Davis. He's out of Georgia. He came for junior day. He's a four-star. Your thoughts on him as a prospect?
Pretty looking athlete. Long arms, got a frame you're going to be able to build on and grow with. And Tennessee just got to get him, Jimmy, up here every chance they can and keep loving on him, because I think that's a guy who's going to have plenty of other opportunities. He committed early. Will he stay true to that, or does he want to end up taking a visit or two somewhere along the way? We'll have to see. But I thought it was big to get him up here for junior day again. First time he's been back up here since he committed. To get him back up here for spring practice is going to be important, I think. Getting back up here this summer to hang out is important. You're going to have to keep recruiting that one like he's an uncommitted player, because I think a lot of people in the SEC are calling and are going to continue to come calling, because he looks the part. Now we'll see how he develops moving forward as a senior, but you look at him and you understand why Tennessee is really happy, I'm sure, with getting that commitment, because he's a good looking athlete.
Brent, I want to kind of follow up on what Vince asked you about all these the midtermers. Do you think it's even more beneficial for these guys to be coming in midterm, because this is not a typical offense that a lot of schools run? Some do, but not a lot. And that there is an adjustment to the speed of the offense and also to the speed of the defense. Do you think it's even more beneficial for this group to be in at midterm?
I think it's beneficial for any guy. Now, look, you're sacrificing to do that. It's not the right move for everybody. Mm-hmm. If you're a really good track athlete and you got a chance to win the state in track, or a baseball player, and you've got a chance. I mean, it's not like you're going to see out of these 13 midterm enrollee freshmen you're not going to see 10 of those guys make huge impacts on this football team, okay? I mean, we're still living in a world where you got to develop as players. Now, there are some exceptions. We all know that. And there are more freshmen playing now than ever before. But all these guys aren't going to come in and make some kind of huge impact right away. So, you know, I think that it's a decision you have to make and you have to commit to and understanding you're sacrificing some things. But if you do it, Jimmy, yes, I think it helps. And do I think it helps an up-tempo offense? Yeah, I mean, is it going to help Taven Jackson this spring? Absolutely. Because think about this. How many more reps is he going to get in the spring than he would get in fall camp? And I know we're going to get the where everybody gets equal reps. Okay, whatever. When you get into fall camp and you get ready to play a game, you know that's going to be divided up differently. And you know once you get into the regular season, it's divided up differently. But in the spring, it's not. It is more 50-50, 33-30, whatever your number is at that position. He's going to get an invaluable amount of reps this spring that you just can't replicate, okay? You just can't replace those. Those are invaluable. Same thing for Justin Williams, okay? Because, look, the run game is different. The tempo is different. Justin Williams is a guy you think can help you this fall. Same thing for Caleb Webb at receiver. So to answer your question, I think all positions at all schools it benefits, but there's no doubt it's helpful here because this is unique to what, you know, Tennessee's doing. It is unique to what a lot of kids played in high school.
So one of the newcomers is a preferred walk-on, Jackson Hanna. He's from Nashville. Mm-hmm. He was at Nebraska. Your thoughts on Jackson Hanna?
I think it's a great get as a walk-on. You know, I mean, I think Jackson probably lacks a little bit in some athletic ability, might be, quote, a little stiff, if you will. But he's a guy who understands how to work in the weight room, knows what the college life is like, can come in, can contribute to you on special teams, could add some depth at the linebacker position where you don't have depth. And I think you look at Tennessee and what they're trying to do with their walk-on program, I think you're seeing Tennessee – try to up their game there. I mean, I really do. I think you're seeing Tennessee try to bring in some better players there if they can. And, you know, we'll see if they can get all these guys in who are talking about being walk-ons, if they end up coming here or if a smaller school comes after them and they decide to go that route. But I think Tennessee's making a real conscious effort to really upgrade their walk-on program. Not that it's been bad. We've seen walk-ons contribute. But I think they're trying to really use that to create some more depth, particularly on special teams.
Want to switch gears, Tennessee basketball. The Vols beat Florida last night. Had a couple of droughts along the way, but they found a way to win. What were your takeaways from Tennessee's victory over the Gators?
Well, I didn't think they played very well. I thought they were much better, much more efficient in the second half. Turned the ball over. I mean, seven straight possessions of turnovers in college basketball is ridiculous. I mean, you can't do that and beat good teams. But Tennessee survived it. Tennessee's defense was better in the second half. Florida was hot in the first half. I didn't think Tennessee's defense was bad in the first half. I just thought Florida made a lot of really tough shots and some deep threes. But Tennessee does enough maddening things that they have to clean up if they're going to really improve and elevate themselves and give themselves a chance in the postseason. You can't throw lazy one-hand passes with 90 seconds to go in the game. You can't turn the ball over against pressure defense the way that they did. They benefited from Florida not having a big man on the floor. I think the small lineup actually works in Tennessee's favor. You just can't always play that, depending on what the other team has. And then I thought John Fulkerson, the last 6 minutes of that game, was really good. And look, if John gets winded and John doesn't have his stamina, and Rick Barnes talked about this after the game, John took himself out of the game at one point because he was gassed or winded. If John will be responsible enough to continue to do that, so that when he's on the floor for a three-minute burst or whatever it is, and he's given absolutely his best effort there, Tennessee's going to be a better basketball team for us, okay? So they have to work that out. They obviously did last night, and Fulkerson was good down the stretch when they needed some buckets. His and-one bucket was at a critical time. He had another really nice jump hook off the glass, little high-arcing shot over on the left paint that was really nice. So I thought Fulkerson was a positive last night, and Rick Barnes has talked about Zakai Ziegler all season long. When he and I visited in the preseason, he said fans have no idea. They're going to fall in love with this guy. He will absolutely be a fan favorite, and you can see that because he brings energy. He brings turnovers. He brings offensive intensity and good – I mean, I just like the way he plays. So he was good last night for Tennessee as well.
And the Vols also hit those free throws, didn't they? 17 out of 18.
Yeah, I still think they can get to the free throw line more. I really can. And you know, the like Kennedy Chandler, and I'm not picking on Kennedy, but, I mean, he had a drive late, Jimmy, where he got to the free throw line, which was a really good play. And this was after he missed two easy layups earlier in the game, in my opinion. But you saw that play, and it's like, you know what? I think that's there a little more often. You know, if they can get the court spread, he needs to attack it a little bit more at the rim and get to the free throw line. He's clearly altered his free throw mechanics. His shot looks much better at the free throw line. He made those yesterday, and Tennessee made them down the stretch. They've got to create more offense going towards the basket. When they do, it makes those outside three-point shots open up and easier looks for Tennessee. When they can get something, when they can get offensive motion going towards the rim and cause the defense to react, it's going to open things up. We saw that last night with Powell, right? Powell goes baseline and throws that baseline pass to Viscobi down in the corner, drains a three. That action is created because of what Powell did attacking the rim. They need to attack the rim more and more, in my opinion.
Our guest, Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens. From design to installation, they got you covered. If you want to join us, 1-865-656-9900, 1-866-656-9900.
Brent, Jimmy and I were talking about some transfer portal notes that some numbers that we had passed along that I think Rivals had originally put out. You may have seen them. Basically, as of a few days ago, since August 1st, there have been 1,254 FBS scholarship players that have entered the transfer portal. 54 of those players withdrew from their schools, withdrew their name from the portal. 625 had announced new schools, and 575 players remained in the portal. That's 52%. What do you think about those numbers of all those players that remained, unsigned or without a new school since August 1st?
I'm not surprised. I mean, you know, there's a cap on the number. I mean, you know, you can't. There's obviously more guys going into the portal than schools are going to have spots for, particularly at the Group of Five and the Power Five level. And I'm sure a lot of those guys who are still in the portal have places to go and have opportunities, just not at the level that they're looking for. And I think it's an example that grass is not always greener on the other side. That doesn't mean that kids shouldn't go in the portal. Everybody's situation is different. I disagree. Tyrann Mathieu was on Twitter today, you know, talking about the portal and how bad it was, and every kid needs to stay and compete. And listen, I don't disagree. You need to compete, but everybody's situation is different. You never know what's prompting somebody to go into the portal. So it's here to stay, and there's going to be a bunch of kids go in. Will that number diminish in coming years when some guys realize that maybe there's not as many opportunities for them out there as they once thought? I don't know. You know, we thought that number might go down in the NBA with the straight out of high school rule before the high school rule was eliminated. But that number was still climbing, I think, Jimmy, in terms of high school kids that were trying to go straight to the league instead of going to college. So I'm not sure that kids are going to see that this big number of guys didn't land at places or haven't landed there yet and say, wow, maybe I ought to stick it out here. Or do they all say, well, my situation's different, I'm a better player, I'm this, and I'm going to go. But I think there's a lot of guys surprised at where they're at right now. But I think that was to be expected when you had that large number of guys enter the portal. Texas A&M just had one enter the portal about 20 minutes ago. So it's not like it's stopping. So it's continuing to happen and will continue to happen all spring long.
Brent, there was a lot of frustration when Isaiah Nair decommitted from Tennessee and ended up at Texas. And a lot of fans, you know, obviously pointed to name, image, likeness, I guess future opportunities at Texas as swaying him there. What connection do you make between name, image, and likeness right now and the number of players that go to the transfer portal with that kind of incentive on their mind?
Well, I think everybody going – if you're a productive player, okay, if you're a guy who's put up numbers wherever you're at and you're looking for a better opportunity, such as Isaiah Nair was and some other guys we've seen, I think all those guys are looking for name, image, likeness opportunities. I think that's a huge part of their recruitment. Now, if you're a guy who's going in the portal and you haven't played, okay, or you haven't, you've got two catches in 3 years or whatever, then that's a different story. But if you're a guy who's going to be highly regarded and going to have multiple opportunities out there at the Power 5 level, name, image, likeness is a part of all of that. I'll say this about Isaiah Nair. His name, image, likeness opportunities at Tennessee, in my opinion, from everybody I've talked with and people around Isaiah, was never been as good as what Texas had in front of him. The difference is Austin's 50 minutes or an hour and 30 minutes from his house. And so, you know, here's a guy who's been playing 14 hours away from home at Wyoming. Family can't come see him on a regular basis. But he's in Austin, Texas. His family lives in Dallas, Texas. It's a pretty easy drive over to watch him play on Saturdays. So if your name, image, likeness stuff was equal, okay, and this is what everybody has to remember about name, image, likeness. Everybody just thinks you just go spend more money and you just, quote, buy a better class, right? That's the perception of name, image, likeness out there. Well, at the end of the day, if things are equal, right, there still has to be a separator, right? And what does that come down to? Are they comfortable in the program? Are they comfortable with the coaches? Does distance from home factor in? Opportunity on the depth chart? All those different things are still going to play in. Now, there's a brand new variable in name, image, likeness that is a game changer. But it's not just about making a bigger bank deposit or a bigger promise, you know, that a kid gets a bigger promise for opportunities at one place compared to another. In some cases, I'm sure it will be. But I mean, let's look at Arch Manning, for example. Do you think one school's offering him a vastly different amount or one third-party collective, whatever we're calling these things, that at one area or one school he's considering his opportunities are going to be vastly superior there compared to another school on his list? No, I don't think so. And so what it comes down to, again, is coaching, where you feel most comfortable, being recruited, what kind of relationship you've established with them, all those things are still going to be factors in decisions and some guys' recruitments.
Brent, I was reading an article about the 10 best players returning in the SEC. And I thought, okay, Tennessee's going to have two of them, Hendon Hooker, Cedric Tillman. Well, Hendon Hooker was number two on the list. Cedric Tillman was not. And I know it may be hard just off the cuff, but would you not think that Tillman could very easily be one of the 10 best players returning in the SEC?
Based on production, Jimmy, yes. I would say that. Where is he in terms of talent at the receiver position in the league? Now, you're talking all positions top 10, right?
Yes.
I can see him not making that list. That doesn't shock me that he doesn't make the list, even though he's been that productive. I think if you're looking at some talent things out there and you're looking at, you know, at 10 guys out there at all positions in the league, I can certainly see where you could find 10 guys that people around the league would think higher of than Cedric Tillman, even though I think he's fantastic, had a great year, and certainly thrives in this offense.
Besides Hooker, there was a quarterback at Arkansas, K.J. Jefferson. There's a safety at Alabama, Jordan Battle, who's rated number one. Kentucky running back Chris Rodriguez. Georgia linebacker Nolan Smith. Two from Arkansas, others from Arkansas, Jalen Catalon and Bumper Poole. A safety at A&M and a receiver at A&M. Those were the others that were rated.
The tight end at Georgia didn't make the list? Who was a freshman, Bowers?
No. Yeah.
That's what
I'm out on that list then. I'm out on that list. Yeah. Is that an upperclassman list only? Is that a senior list? Are they all seniors?
Because if
that kid's not on the list, then I don't know who did that list, because he is by far one of the best 10 players in this league. I don't think it's even close.
I don't know if it was seniors only. It might be those that are draft eligible. That might be what it is. So it could have been a junior who's draft eligible. I think that might be the differential. But the receiver rated ahead of Cedric Tillman is Aeneas Smith at Texas A&M.
Go ahead, Jimmy. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I thought there was a discussion where you could argue that Tillman could be in that top 10.
Based off that list you just read me, absolutely. Absolutely. If you're taking all positions, all four grade levels, you know, or all four classes, then I think you could certainly come up with 10 where you wonder if Tillman makes that list. Based on the 10 names you just – or the 9 names outside of Hendon Hooker that you just read me, yeah, I put Cedric Tillman on that list. I had a couple of those guys.
Jimmy, did you say Will Anderson from Alabama?
No.
I'm out on the list then. I'm done.
Yeah, he's only played 2 years, so he's coming back as well.
Well, let's see. Well, like I said, I think this is those that are NFL eligible for the draft. I think that's what it is. Has to be, right?
Okay.
Whoever did the list doesn't know the league, one or the other.
Yeah. It said 10 best returners, and I think they were talking about that could have turned pro and didn't. So I think that's what it was. I should have been more specific, but that's what I saw. But anyway, yeah. Yeah, Will Anderson would he'd be number one on my list.
He would be one.
But, and they're not going to leave him off. So it has to be a list of players that are pro eligible right now.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But anyway, I thought Tillman – and see, and with Tillman, and I think you're right, they need somebody else to be a compliment to him. Do you think that if they don't find a good compliment to him, that defenses will – I don't know, shut him down. I don't know if I'd go that far. But how difficult do you think it might be for Tillman if they don't have some complimentary receivers to help him?
No, I think it presents a different challenge, that without question. I mean, I think that Javonte Payton, even though he didn't catch a ton of balls, was huge for Cedric Tillman, because you had to worry about that side of the field.
Yeah.
And you got everybody spread out. Here's the thing, too, and I've said this a couple of times and some different stuff and have written it a couple of times. Because Tennessee moved the ball against everybody they played in the league this year, okay? Now, maybe they didn't finish in the red zone against Georgia, but they were in the red zone 5 times against Georgia, as much as anybody. They moved the ball for 3 quarters against Alabama. You know, they moved the football against everybody they played in the league. Nobody really, quote, shut them down. I can promise you defensive coordinators in this league that are playing Tennessee this fall are going to pay more attention to Tennessee's offense this offseason than they did last year. I think they looked at Tennessee. They don't have a proven quarterback. They lost 30 kids in the transfer portal. That was not the priority case study for teams in the offseason. It will be this year. And so what do teams do to combat Tennessee's offense? Do they play kind of what NFL teams have tried to do to the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes and play that 2-safety look, you know, back and don't play single safety high, and they want to keep the ball in front of them and test your patience? Mahomes has gotten more patient the last month of the season. His numbers have improved. But there was a point in time in the season where Patrick Mahomes was not very patient, forced the ball, threw more picks than he had, wasn't playing well. He and Andy Reid have adjusted to what defenses are doing to them, and he's become a more patient quarterback. What does Tennessee have to adjust to based on how defenses are going to play them this fall? Because I think defenses will play Tennessee different this season than they did this past season.
And I just Googled that story, by the way. This was the SEC top 10 returning players who did not enter the draft.
Okay. So, yeah, I put Cedric Tillman on that list then.
Yeah, so there we go. All right. When we come back, I'll try not to get everybody's blood pressure up. We'll have more of Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosure and Screen. Our guest, Brent Hubbs of VolQuest.com, is appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens. From design to installation, they got you covered.
Brent, what'd you think about offensive lineman Chris Aparogene hitting the transfer portal?
Not surprised. I think that was the plan. He's staying through this semester because he's going to graduate in May, and I think he's just looking for another opportunity out there. I think Tennessee, I don't want to say they're established at guard, but, you know, I think their 2-deep is pretty established when you look at who's coming back and where they were. And I just think he was looking for better, more opportunities. He's had a hard time staying healthy since he's been at Tennessee, which has hurt him in trying to compete for a job. And, he's going to get his degree in the spring and then head off somewhere else. I'm not surprised. I won't be surprised if there's not another guy or two on this team that ends up doing something similar. Chris wanted to go in before, you know, February 1st, and, you know, with the opportunity potentially to go to another SEC school. If you don't go in the portal by February 1st, then you've eliminated your opportunity to go to the SEC. So I think that's why we just saw this cornerback from Texas A&M go in the portal a few minutes ago. He's going to be at A&M this spring. Those guys could always pull back out of the portal if they wanted to. But they've got to get in the portal if they want an opportunity to play in the SEC next year. So they got to get in by February 1st.
Want to get your thoughts on the defensive line. We saw Tyler Barron in the portal briefly, and then he came back out. You have Bryce Young back next year, and obviously a couple of key starters lost to graduation, but some pass rushers joining that group. What do you think of the defensive line, including the pass rushers, for next year for Tennessee?
Well, I mean, I think Tyler Barron's got to find another level to his game. What does his body look like? And, you know, does he get heavier? Does he play more just the strong side? And you play Byron Young on the opposite side as your pass rusher, along with Roman Harrison, and Barron becomes more of an every down type guy, which I think he can be. I think Tyler Barron's got an untapped potential. He's got I think there's another gear for Tyler Barron in terms of production, and he's got to tap into that and find that this off season. I think Latrell Bumpus is probably the one of the big keys. Can he stay healthy? You know, I think Tennessee catches a break and that they could redshirt him and bring him back. So that's an experienced guy, but he's got to stay healthy for that experience to pay off. And, that's going to be important. Deshaun Terry's development, I think, is important in the inside, along with Garland. And then we'll see what West does as a newcomer. But when you look at him outside, you know, there's a lot of hype around James Pierce. I think James Pierce got a lot of ability. How quickly can he adjust to the college game of not just running around people? Because this is going to be a league where some guys at the tackle position are going to be quick enough to get their hands on him. Can he use his hands and get off the people off the edge? Sometimes for speed rushers, the biggest challenge is playing with some physicality because they, quite frankly, haven't had to do it before. They've been able to run around people. So we'll see. But I think the talent level for those incoming edge guys is really good. We'll just see how long it takes them to get ready. You wish one or two of those guys would have been midterm enrollees, because that's a position where they could use a shot in the arm to go with Byron, or to go with Byron Young for sure.
Brent, what's going on with VolQuest?
We've got plenty of recruiting coverage from Tennessee's Junior Day. Got a story up on John Fulkerson's role as a sixth man right now. We got our mailbag podcast up. We'll have the War Room up tomorrow. We'll have plenty of coverage of Tennessee and Texas coming up this weekend, Saturday night, that game in Austin for Tennessee on the hardwood. And we'll continue with a lot of football recruiting coverage with a couple of guys Tennessee still recruiting in the high school ranks, as well as any potential transfers out there moving forward for Tennessee, with signing day coming up next Wednesday.
Brent, we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Brent.
All right, thanks, guys.
And that's Brent Hubbs at VolQuest. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens. From design to installation, they got you covered.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.